I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome. We are broadcasting today live from Washington, D.C. 12,000 young people from across the United States of America and even Canada have converged on Washington, D.C. this weekend to lobby Congress and to push for change and to push for environmental change, to save our environment, to change energy policy, to fight for a green economy. People haven't seen this many young people converge on D.C. and converge to change the political nature of this country for almost 40 years, but it's happening. Why is it happening? We're about to find out. We're going to meet four of those young people this hour. As we speak, some of them who attend this conference are doing mass civil disobedience at a power plant in Washington, D.C. that generates 49% of the energy for Washington, D.C. It's a coal-fired plant, and they are demanding that coal-fired plants end and something new begin. So they are there getting arrested. Others are here with us. Others are still on Capitol Hill lobbying Congress. And we are joined this hour by Madeline Gardner, who is Partnership Director for the Energy Action Coalition. Laura Comer's in the studio. She's a junior at Hofstra University and coordinated the PowerShift 09 Lobby Day. And PowerShift is what this conference is called. Shortly, we'll be joined by Dominique Hazard, who recently graduated from Oxon High School in Prince George's County. And we'll also meet Amal Bennett-Judge, a junior at Howard University, and introduce them when they arrive. They're heading over here now from Capitol Hill, where they've been lobbying all day. And Madeline and Laura, welcome. Good to have you with us in the studio.
Thank you so much.
And even though we're broadcasting live from D.C., the numbers are all the same. 410-319-8888 join us here on the Mark Steiner Show, or you can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com as we explore this world of what's going on. So let's talk about what this meant and why there are 12,000 young people and what power in D.C. and what PowerShift is. Who wants to begin that? Madeline, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So we have 12,000 young people here, like you just said, from every state, from every Canadian province, from 12 other countries as well, who wanted to come and join us representing their own youth climate movements from India, China, the UK, Japan. And we are here because we're hitting a crisis point with global warming and with the economy at the same time. This year in December in Copenhagen, all the countries of the world are going to come together to renegotiate another climate treaty like people tried to do with Kyoto. And the U.S. has to be on board this time, and we have to lead the world to fixing the global warming crisis. The renowned scientists around the world, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is kind of the decisive body, has said that we have about 6 years left to address climate change, and we have to get started right now. And the U.S. plays a critical role in that. Likewise, as we all know, the economy is not doing so good.
It's tanking. Right.
Yep. And we have a solution for both problems. We can create 5 million green jobs in this country that will put our generation to work, will put people who have lost their jobs back to work, will put the folks who most need work back to work. We can build solar panels. We can install wind turbines. We can retrofit every house and building in this country. We need to build a new grid. We need public transportation on a massive scale like we've never seen. It will improve our standard of living, and we can become carbon neutral at the same time.
Laura Comer, I mean, we'll talk in a minute about this lobby day you helped coordinate, and we understand you set up 378 different
congressional meetings, yes.
That's a lot to do. We'll talk about how you do that in a minute. But I'm curious, we talked a bit before we went on the air, what's going on here and why you think, as you're a junior at Hofstra, mm-hmm. why you think all of a sudden there's this massive movement of young people around the country that are fighting for environmental change and environmental justice. What do you think is going on now? Why is there such a shift in this power and this energy of young people in America?
I mean, look at the administration we've had to deal with for the past 8 years. everything's on, going on the right track for us. I mean, we've had to deal with illegal war. We've had, you know, our economy is in the same problem that we've talked about with just with Madeline. And the environment cannot wait for us to act any longer. And with all of those factors in the right places, it always comes down to the youth to create the big movements and to start the change. And all the biggest social changes in history have started with the youth. So it's up to my generation to get the ball rolling and make sure that it happens. And Obama has called for the youth to stand up. Al Gore has asked for us to do some civil disobedience to make sure that our voices are heard. And we decided the past elections. So really, it's my generation and it's the youth, and we're following through and making sure that this happens in our favor.
We're also now joined by one of our panelists who came in from Capitol Hill just now. We came flying in here. It's good to have her with us. Dominique Hazard is a recent graduate of Oxon Hill High School in Prince George's County in our listening area. She worked to bring a group of high school students to the event and introduced Congresswoman Donna Edwards Saturday night at one of the events. Well, good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Dominique, tell us a bit about, again, the same question, why you're here. I mean, what moved you to come to this movement, to this gathering, this Power Shift conference?
Well, I've been with the climate change movement for about 2 years now, and I had to come to Power Shift because this is it. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. We have a new Congress, a president who's making energy his top priority, and the climate change movement is bigger than ever. I mean, there were 12,000 youth here.
12,000, that's amazing.
Yeah, when over, I don't know, not even two years ago, there were only 5,000 youth at Power Shift, and now there's 12,000.
That was at College Park.
Right.
Were you there then, too?
I was.
Mm-hmm.
This was five times as better with twice as many people. So I definitely had to be here. I mean, I couldn't miss this. This is the gathering of people across the country who care about one of what I consider to be the challenge of my generation.
So I want to ask this question. I was going to try to wait until Amal comes, but when Amal gets here, we'll also continue it. One of the things that when you look at the environmental movement and the history of it in America, it has been a predominantly white movement of white people in America. But that all of the gravest kind of immediate environmental justice issues, the worst pollution, the mining destroying land, has been on poor people's lands, whether it's Appalachia or Native America or in African-American neighborhoods around the country. So there's another shift. This power shift. There's also a shift in bringing together Black, white, Mexican, Puerto Rican, Native American, for the first time in a way that's been unprecedented. I'm just curious what you all think about that and why that's happening.
Well, it is unprecedented. There were 1,300 people of color at Power Shift this year. There were not even 1,000 at Power Shift 2007, so there definitely has been a shift.
And what do you think is going on?
I think that people are realizing that to stop climate change, we need everyone. And the climate change movement is just becoming more inclusive. They're including everyone. I've definitely seen that shift at my high school in Oxon Hill. You know, before, almost no one at my high school cared. And this time, we only had enough money to send 10 kids to Power Shift, and there was a waiting list for people who
really
wanted to go, who wanted to be involved, especially kids who are a member of the NAACP chapter we have at Oxon Hill, because they see this as the new civil rights movement. So
why do you
really
say that? Why is that? What do you mean, a new civil rights movement?
Because at its heart, climate change is a human rights issue. And we know that it's affecting our community the worst and the hardest and not equitably. So we want to be involved.
So, Laura Comer, I was curious your thoughts on that, too. I mean, there really is a difference here. I mean, I think that I read about how moved the thousands of you who are gathered listening to some of the young Native American speakers talk about what's happening on the reservations in their worlds. And this kind of dynamic here is really, really exciting to think about.
No, everyone's stories have been really inspiring. And I think another reason why this has become such a focal issue is that nuclear energy has been discussed a lot recently, and I don't think that a lot of people are looking at it from the social issue that it creates. As far as mining uranium, most of that occurs on indigenous people's lands, and you know, we're taking their resources to power larger cities, and just how that's not fair. And also Katrina happened, and we heard those stories, and we saw that was a low-income colored area, and that was affected, you know, that was a climate change issue. And all the news coverage on that, you start hearing the stories about climate change and how that has really affected them more than other areas. I mean, rich places have the money to kind of deal with what can happen as a result of climate change, whereas the poor places do not, and their voices aren't heard as equally.
Yeah. And
Madeline Gardner.
Yes. Our generation, the millennials, were the most...
The millennials, I like that.
The millennials,
yes, the
millennials. That's us.
Yes.
New change. The biggest change we've seen in 1,000 years. We're the most diverse generation, racially diverse generation in U.S. history. And we're really proud of that. Super proud of it. And we're addressing issues of race and class head on. We've seen movements of the past not address them as well and failed because of it, and we're not going to make those same mistakes. We know that climate change is, at its heart, a justice issue, a human rights issue. How climate change impacts us and the kinds of legislation we're going to pass to deal with climate change are at their heart about development, about creating infrastructure, about creating jobs, about working with the economy. And we know that in the history of this country, we have a shameful history of people of color and low-income people being at the being on the front lines of these issues and getting the short straw when it comes to issues of development and being left out of the conversation. So we have a saying in the climate movement, and that is, if you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu. So every one of us sees it as our job to make sure that everyone in this generation is at the table, and that those folks who are on the front lines, who are on the reservations, who are in Appalachia, who are in low-income communities of color in our urban areas, that they're at the front of the line in the climate movement.
Join us here, 410-319-8888, here on the Mark Steiner Show. Your thoughts about the push to save this planet, to deal with climate change, to address the issues of energy in America, how should we do it? There are 12,000 young Americans, high school students and college students, converged on Washington, D.C., lobbied Capitol Hill today. Some are now being arrested as we speak at a coal-fired plant here in Washington, D.C. They're here to fight for a new America and a new world. It's your chance to join in on this conversation in the studio. You just heard Madeline Gardner, who is Partnerships Director for the Energy Action Coalition. Before that, you heard Laura Comer, who's a junior at Hofstra, and she coordinated the PowerShip 09 Lobbying Day on Capitol Hill. She organized 378 congressional visits. And we should hire her to do some stuff here. We can afford her, I'm sure. Dominique Hazard is with us, who recently graduated Oxon Hill High School in Prince George's County. And she organized high school students to come to this event. And had the honor of introducing Congresswoman Donna Edwards on Saturday night at their rally. And they had a spontaneous rally after the rally on Saturday night, where I understand you all marched on the White House.
Yes, we did.
Out of your... Just marched on the White House.
The night wasn't over. The shift continued.
It came out of nowhere. The concert was over. I was calling my mom to take me home. And then all of a sudden I heard power shift coming from the lobby. And I walked down. Everyone's sitting there. They tell us, you know, guys, you actually have to leave. So we said, okay, take it to the streets. We got outside. People started walking to the White House. And the next thing you know, there was a march.
And what happened at that march?
We said what we wanted. We talked about, we screamed that we wanted green jobs, that we want clean energy now, and that we want no coal.
So let's talk about what the reality of what America is facing and what you think is really going on here. And I'm going to talk about what you are doing on Capitol Hill, and we'll lead into that with this. I mean, we talk a great deal about the climate change in the world, that the fossil fuels that fuel our economies and most of the world are destroying the climate of the planet. But what's the reality of how you make a shift away from that to where you think it should be? And this is not as easy as just saying we're going to shift from coal, some people say from coal or oil, and all of a sudden overnight we're going to have solar energy, we're going to have wind power, thermal power, wave power, that the grid has to be redone. This is a huge undertaking. So talk about what it is What's the reality for you with all this?
I think that this crisis has really given us an opportunity. I mean, we have to make these rash decisions, and this has to happen now. And because the economic crisis, we have that bill, and we have all that money, and we need to start making investments, and we need to start immediately creating jobs. Otherwise, this economy is going to have some irreversible damage to it. So this is really the time for us to say, okay, we need to redo this grid right now, and we need those jobs, so let's make it happen next week.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a process, but the process is going to be done by hardworking Americans who go to work working on our grids, doing energy audits on our homes and our buildings. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen with the help of our legislators and hardworking Americans across the country.
So what are you saying to these congresspeople that you're meeting with today? What did you say to them when you saw them?
Well, I just actually came out of a meeting with Congressman Steny Hoyer, who is actually my representative. It was amazing to get to talk to him face to face. Basically, we thanked him for his support on the issue so far. We told him that we want him to go even farther, to talk to his fellow congresspeople, to be a climate champion. We told him we wanted green jobs, that we wanted renewable energy, and that we wanted him to go to Copenhagen. He told us he does plan to go to the International Climate Talks in Copenhagen, and that when he's there, we want him to present the United States as a leader on this issue, because this is a global issue, and in order to make change, the United States needs to be a leader so that other countries can take our lead.
So, but when you talk to people in Congress, and some people are arguing that what Congress is doing now and what's being proposed is not nearly enough to even address what we have. I mean, they're saying that we need $400 to $600 billion just to redo the grid in America alone. And when they're bailing out banks to that tune and more without kind of any people understanding where that money's going in the banks. So, I mean, what's your thought about how we do this? I mean, how do we get to the place you're talking about? People are talking about if you want to build a clean energy industry that's solar, wind-powered, however else it is, A, you need the transmission, which is a process which is not being built yet, to do that. And you'd have to tax carbon fuel, which could change the economy drastically. So I'm curious what you think has to happen here. How are we going to get to this place?
We have everything that we need. All of the technology is there. What we're missing is the political will. So just bringing the right people to the table and showing them that young people are ready. We're ready to get our hands dirty. We're getting our hands dirty. We're looking for the jobs, and we're ready to be at the political discussions. And these talks need to happen.
Yep. And you're absolutely right. It is going to take a while, which is why we need to start right away. The first thing we can do is we can retrofit every building in this country. And retrofit...
What do you mean we can retrofit every building
retrofit
in this country?
Retrofit means make every building we have as energy efficient as it possibly could be. New insulation, new windows, new appliances. Get rid of all the leaks, all the places where heat and electricity leak. That doesn't take a new grid at all. Those are jobs waiting to happen. Next, we need a new grid, a smart grid that also stops leakage, that basically puts in giant batteries into the grid so that when the sun is shining in Arizona or when the wind is blowing in South Dakota, we can store all that energy for the days when it's not shining or when the wind isn't blowing. So we're never losing any energy. We're taking advantage of the tremendous potential that this country has to generate all of our energy from clean energy sources. And then we need to stop subsidizing the dirty energy. Our government still subsidizes coal and oil, an embarrassingly large amount of money. We are still pumping into coal and oil industries. Stop that immediately and put that money into clean energy investment. We want a new Green Deal. We can actually do a Herculean effort in this country. We're America. We are the bastion of innovation and hard work. If we put our minds to it, we can do it. But we need to get started right now.
We can say something. I'm sorry. I'm curious. So here you are. You're lobbying folks in Capitol Hill. You're pushing them. I wonder if you think that's enough. I mean, if you think that lobbying Congress people on Capitol Hill who have their vested interests. Here you are, 12,000 people strong in the streets of Washington lobbying Capitol Hill, but then you're also off against the lobbying infrastructure of America. You're up against the oil lobby. You're up against the coal lobby. You're up against all the lobbies that have a vested interest and who support our elected officials with their money when they're elected. How do you counteract that?
Ultimately, they're elected officials, and we're the voters. And we showed up. We turned out in huge record numbers, and they know that they're going to have to face us again. And we are listening, and we are paying attention. And while we see this effort here now with 12,000, I mean, those are the 12,000 that were able to make the travel and come here to D.C. So how many of them are back at home ready to follow up in their districts, in their home districts?
It's not it. This is the beginning. We're not... This is like the catalyst. All these young people, they're going to go back to their communities. They're going to have in-district meetings with these officials. They're going to talk to their state officials, their local officials, and they're going to get more and more people. That's how we're building the movement.
12,000 young people, as I said a minute ago, are in Washington, D.C. right now. Many are still on Capitol Hill lobbying as we speak. There are any number of hundreds, perhaps 1,000, who are about to commit civil disobedience in front of a coal-fired plant in Washington, D.C. to be arrested, to stop the coal industry and to stop that kind of energy in America, to make a statement about that. 12,000 people, not just people, 12,000 young people, high school students and college students from every state in the union, from campuses and communities, from neighborhoods and cities to Indian reservations. Join us here at 410-319-8888. Ask questions of these young people and also show your support or critique it. Think about it critically. Join us here at 410-319-8888. Madeline Gardner is Partnerships Director for the Energy Action Coalition. Dominique Hazard just graduated from Occidental High School in Prince George's County, and she organized high school students to come here to this conference. Laura Comer is a junior at Hofstra University and coordinated the move on the PowerShift Lobby Day on Capitol Hill at 378 offices in the United States Congress. 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com as we talk with these folks who have kind of taken on America. And you kind of, I mean, a huge portion of the election of Barack Obama at your feet. And I'm just curious what you, I just, the first time since this election I've had a chance to have people who are in their 20s and teens kind of talking about what happened to you and your generation in this election from your perspective and why you think that you just got so inspired with this election. I know you're supposed to come from nonpartisan groups, you didn't endorse anybody, but I'm just talking about you as individuals and the people around you. What happened?
Well, I think that we realized that we had power. When we listened to Barack Obama speak, he talked about the young people. He said he wanted to hear from us, and he said he was counting on us to turn out to vote. And he used grassroots strategies that the young people responded to. So they went out and voted in record numbers, and now they're ready to hold Barack Obama and the Congress people accountable.
You're ready to hold them all accountable?
Yes.
Now, what do you want them to do? You're accountable for what? What do you expect them to do?
Our past generations have made a lot of mistakes to put us in the position we are now. This economy and this environment is not up to where I want it to be, and I'm holding them accountable for that. And I need them to make the changes to make this country livable again and make it just sustainable for me to have a job. I'm concerned that when I graduate that we're not going to have a job, let alone a job that's going to sustain me to live and a job that will sustain this planet to continue. And green jobs accomplish both of that, and that's what I want to see.
And specifically, we're asking Congress to pass climate legislation this year that puts a cap on carbon that's based on what science tells us we need to do to avoid catastrophic climate change.
When I was reading some of the blogs on the PowerShift site and people writing back and forth, some of the people were writing that they thought that you and people in this movement were naive to think you could stop coal, naive to think that we could live in America that wasn't based on coal power, because it's half of our energy right now. I wonder what you think would could change that. I mean, what is it going to take, and how long do you think it will take for us not to have a coal-based economy? I mean, even if, the, you know, we talk about the imported oil from the Middle East in troubled parts of the globe. The reality is most of our energy comes from right here in America, and most of it's American oil and American coal.
Well, I think those people are forgetting that America can change very quickly. America went from having an economy that was based on slave labor to not having, and it survived. It was okay. It cost a lot, but it was okay. We went from having no space program to having men on moon very quickly. So we went from having no internet to everybody having internet, and that was helped along by the government. It just takes leaders who are willing to make change.
Yeah, whenever I'm asked this question, I like to think about North and South Dakota. I'm from Minnesota, so every time I drive west, I go 12 hours through the Dakotas. You know, very rural, pretty poor, and pretty desolate. Yep. The wind blows constantly. There's a lot of Indian reservations in the Dakotas. And we could power the majority of this country's energy just on the wind potential on Indian reservations in this country. It's like 1% of the landmass. We could power everything. And we just need a little bit of help from the federal government to get it going, to stop subsidizing coal and oil, to actually put a price on carbon so that wind and solar become competitive, and we just need to get started, and it will go so fast. Like Dominique said, think about how fast we've switched to cell phones and the internet once it got started.
So you really do think this can happen?
The only thing that's stopping it will happen. It's just a matter of, is the U.S. economy going to benefit from it or not? Because Europe has already benefited from this a ton. When we think about economic growth and what is poised to grow, it's the clean energy sector. And if we don't develop the industry and the jobs here, then Europe will, and we'll have to get it from Europe.
Now, I do want to talk about that, because I mean, a lot of people have talked about America could be the place where the new technology is grown and can sell it and transport it to the rest of the world in terms of solar and wind and the rest. But let me come back to the piece of what you and others will clearly be up against. I mean, is that much of the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House of Representatives have not voted. Let me take a simple example. Mountaintop removal in Appalachia, where people cut off tops of mountains to get to the coal, destroying not only the environment, but endangering people's lives by building this sludge buildup and destroying people's rivers and homes and slides that have killed people and made people sick, toxins everywhere.
Every day.
But because of the power of the coal industry and the oil industry that's invested in that, and the banks in New York that are invested in those industries, Congress won't make a simple change by saying no to mountaintop removal. So what I'm just trying to shift here in terms of your power shift is talk about the power you're up against that has a vested interest in keeping things the way they are and giving lip service to changing stuff, but doing it in a piecemeal way because their power and investments are someplace else. We'll come back to that. See what you think. We'll take a very short break here. We're talking with young people who came to Washington, D.C. 12,000 young people came to Washington, D.C. To make a difference, to change our climate policy, to change our energy policy, to fight for green jobs. They came from all 50 states. They came from every conceivable community, white, black, Native American, Puerto Rican, Mexican-American kids from all over this country are here. They lobbied Capitol Hill today en masse. The conference is called Power Shift. Join us here at 410-319-8888. We're going to take a very short break and come back to finish this conversation with our guest and remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union offering a full range of financial services. MeQ was formed in 1936 to help people during the Great Depression. And over 70 years later, they're still there to help people during these difficult times. For more information, go to mecu.com. For information about our future and our young people's role in that, join us here at 410-319-8888. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA 88.9 FM, broadcasting to you from Baltimore, Maryland, all the way up to Delaware and down to Washington, D.C. You can join us here at 410-319-8888. Reminding you, The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland State Mortgage Late, Don't Wait program. For more information and personal counseling, the number is 1-877-462-7555. But the number here is 410-319-8888 as we talk about Power Shift 09. 12,000 people came from all 50 states to Washington, D.C., people in high school and in from our universities and colleges to lobby Congress and fight for environmental change, to fight for green jobs, to fight for a change in our climate policy. We're joined in the studio by Madeline Gardner, who is Partnerships Director for Energy Action Coalition, Dominique Hazard, who is a recent graduate of Oxon Hill High School in Prince George's County. She organized high school students to come to this conference, introduced Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who represents Prince George's County this Saturday. She introduced her at one of the events here. Laura Comer is a junior at Hofstra University and coordinated the Power Shift 09 Lobby Day on Capitol Hill, where they visited over 378 congressmen. And those who didn't have appointments, they knocked on their doors anyway. 410-319-8888 is the number here. To join us or write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. So when we were going to break, I asked you about the I'm just going to set up the power dynamic, I guess, a little bit here. And I know the power and sincerity that you all have in the movement you're building in America and the power you showed in getting Barack Obama elected and what you believe in terms of a new America rising, crossing racial lines like no other young group has ever done in America before, I think. But what I set up here was the fact that you are lobbying Congress in Capitol Hill now, and they could not even pass a simple law that would save the rivers of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Appalachia and stop the mountaintop removal that are literally killing people, destroying lives, killing the environment, destroying wholesale a whole culture in Appalachia. So just to get oil, just to get coal cheap. And so that's the power you're up against. That's what I was asking you about before we went to break. Who wants to grab this first? Laura, looks like you're about to leap into it, so please do.
We finally have the support of our administration, and I think that's what's been missing. I mean, we're going to have an EPA that actually serves its purpose to protect the environment, and we had the head of the EPA come to our conference and state just that. And to know that we have an administration behind us, and we have Nancy Pelosi, who was going to come to our rally before she got snowed out. I mean, the Speaker of the House is behind us. And if we have that kind of power behind us, then absolutely, as long as we show up and say that we're following up, this change is going to happen. And also, our economy requires it at this time. The same investment in clean energy economy results in three times the amount of jobs that putting that same amount of money in dirty energies results in. And looking at those numbers, I mean, this has to happen, and there's no way around it. Do you want to go, Madeline?
Absolutely. Mark, I feel like you're saying we can't do
that. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just throwing up a wall here, well, maybe of my perception of reality.
Sure. And Mark, we are not naive. We realize the forces that we're up against, and we realize the role that money plays in decision-making in this country. And, you know, the subsidies that oil and gas and coal get, the amount that those industries spend lobbying our elected officials, just like you said. The West Virginia politicians, most of them are right in King Coal's pocket. And they may not be coming out anytime soon either. Mm-hmm. We're not naive. Laura's absolutely right. We have seen a big shift in the administration. That's an important first step. Our generation is incredibly politically savvy. And as Dominique was saying, we came out en masse. We decided this last election. We decided we wanted to engage in the political system, something Generation X never really did. We want to decide it. We want to run the government ourselves. We're going to. We're preparing to do it right now. But we're not foolish either. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hold those elected officials accountable. And if they don't start voting the way that we set a mandate for them to vote, then we're going to, you know, take the next step. And there's a civil disobedience happening right now. There's been many civil disobediences that have already happened in the climate movement. We've had over 50 coal plants that were proposed get rejected in the last 2 years. We organize on every single level. We go to public hearings every time there's a coal plant proposed. We go meet, you know, with our municipal officials. We've done sit-ins at corporate offices. One of our coalition partners runs a campaign to stop coal financing from Bank of America and Citibank. You name it, we're going to do it and we're going to try it. And we are saying to our elected officials right now, you guys have the option to do the right thing and we're going to back you up. But we are a serious movement and we will stop coal. Our futures depend on it. I'm 26 years old. I hope to live a long life.
I hope you do too.
And we have to stop global climate change right now. So we mean business.
And I wonder, again, in all seriousness here, when you talk to people, let's say, of your generation, who, let's say, for argument's sake, at the moment, come from coal country. That's where they live. That's where they grow up. Mm-hmm. And people see that their future and their lives dependent on coal, on mining coal, on people making their living doing that, making $30, $40, $50 an hour with benefits to do that in a very poverty-stricken part of this country. So, I mean, one of the things I've been really trying to find out, and maybe you all can fill some of this in, is that whether it's looking to building a new green economy or whether it's saying to people who breed our chickens and pollute the bays that you can make a living doing it in a different way, have we shown that can be done? Oh, have we really shown that people can actually survive and exist and raise a family and take care of children and not do things like mine coal?
Yeah.
They're absolutely calling for it. I mean, their healths are on the line here, and they want their family to live long, happy lives. Who wants to be in a coal mine? I mean, no one's happy there. They're looking for healthy solutions out and jobs that pay just as well, and those opportunities are out there.
Yeah. I went and visited one of our coalition partners, Student Environmental Action Coalition, that works with a lot of young people in West Virginia. And they were going around to trailer homes and visiting young people who go to school in rural, small state West Virginia colleges. And I met a young man there named Seth, whose dad and his grandpa had both worked in the mines, mm-hmm. both had black lung.
Which is the disease you catch from breathing in the coal dust and destroys your lungs.
Yep.
Right?
He was an organizer with Student Environmental Action Coalition, and he told me he would probably end up working in the mines someday. He doesn't want to work in mines. There's also a situation in West Virginia called Coal River Mountain, which
yes.
is, beautiful Blue Ridge Mountain that has been slated to be flattened, be level, made into a parking lot, literally, by Mountaintop Removal Mining, and a small group in that community, Coal River Mountain Watch, has done a bunch of studies showing that the wind potential on that mountain is enormous. It will long-term create more jobs than mining will. It won't give anybody black lung. And people want good jobs that don't make them sick. You know, it's really a false dichotomy saying that coal is for workers. It's not for workers. It's for CEOs who are getting really rich. It's not. If they cared about those people working in the mines, then we wouldn't have automated the entire coal industry and cut the jobs by like a fourth in the last 20 years. Wind power will create way more jobs than coal will.
Dominique?
Absolutely. I know young people whose communities are economically dependent on coal, and they want it to change. They see people in their communities coming down with strange types of cancer, children being born with learning disabilities, and that's not what they want. The money that they're making in these coal mines can't pay for the loss of their communities, the loss of health, and the loss of the places where they're from. So people from Appalachia and West Virginia and Pennsylvania want things to change, and one of the things that this movement is dedicated to is making sure that no one is left out. That not only do we care about people of color, Native Americans, but we care about those people who are working in those coal mines, and we want them to have a better life. We want them to have wind turbines on top of those mountains, not having the top of those mountains being cut off.
Now here you are, 12,000 strong in the city lobbying U.S. Congress. How long do you give them to do what you think has to be done? How much time do you give them to get the things done that you think have to happen for our country?
We're asking Congress to pass climate legislation this year.
That will do what? To say what?
That will put a cap on carbon. And there's a lot of debate around cap and trade or cap and auction or cap and dividend. We have recently come out saying that cap and auction is what we support the most, and I'd be happy to explain what that is. But the most important thing is that carbon gets capped according to what science has asked for. And that means we'll create a system of permits. So a coal plant can only produce so much carbon, and they have to pay for the permits to do so. And that effectively will make dirty energy more expensive than clean energy, which will greatly stimulate the clean energy economy.
We need to attach the true costs of what these cheap, the so-called cheap, dirty energies do, because there are human costs that are not accounted for now, there are environmental costs that are not accounted for, and that's what this cap and auction system will do. And it'll even it out where our lives will actually have some value, and clean energy will become the most valuable option.
So I'm curious what's happening, and we're talking with some of the people who have organized and are part of this Power Shift 09 that's taking place in Washington. 12,000 people from across the country, high school students and college students, environmental activists who are here to lobby Congress and to change the way America does business when it comes to our energy policy. Dominique Hassard, Madeline Gardner, and Laura Comer are in the studio with us here in Washington. You can join us here at 410-319-8888 to join in this conversation. As we speak, I keep alluding to this over and over again. There are people, and I was looking in the Twitter site where people have been writing about what's going on at the moment in this demonstration going on. And I wonder what you know about that, about this action being taken place at a coal-fired power plant in Washington, D.C. What's happening right now? I mean, I know that all of your groups are not in this, but many of them are. Can anyone just give a sense of what is happening there and why?
Absolutely. This movement has grown so big that there are multiple things going on at the same time this weekend. So we had the huge Power Shift Summit that 12,000 people came to. That was planned by one group, and then part of the exact same movement. Another group of people is also planned. It's going on right now.
As we speak.
A mass civil disobedience on the coal plant that powers our Congress. A really important symbol of, you know, this country's reliance on dirty energy. And the last I heard, 3,000 to 4,000 people had marched to the plant, were blocking every entrance to the plant. All people who were trained in nonviolent civil disobedience, who have said we're going to take this symbolic action and shut down the plant for a day, and I think there's people getting arrested as we speak.
Yeah, I was reading on the Twitter site before the show that people had, as they put it in this thing, crossed the line, the arrest line, and that Bobby Kennedy was there, son of Senator Kennedy was assassinated, was there with his children all across the line and get arrested. And I wonder what you think that what that means to you all. I mean, and this idea of civil disobedience and standing up to this and kind of blocking the entrance to this coal-fired plant, what that means to you all.
It makes me really excited and really upset at the same time that the step in the clean energy future haven't been taken earlier, that we have had to reach this point where civil disobedience is necessary. But it makes me really excited to know that this many people are behind it and willing to take those steps to make the changes that our lives and our economy need. And we have celebrities and we have politicians calling for this. We have, you know, saying, youth, stand up. This is what we need. And we are depending on you because you are bold enough to take these actions and you know what your futures require. And it makes me so excited to know that I have so many friends out there right now willing to take these steps and be arrested with their friends to really save my future. They're doing it for me and they're doing it for the next generation.
Former Vice President Al Gore has said several times publicly that the situation about climate change is so dire, we need young people to be taking acts of civil disobedience. We should be stopping every bulldozer that is about to construct a new coal-fired power plant, and we should be sitting in front of the gates of current coal-fired power plants. We need an immediate moratorium on coal, which means absolutely no more coal.
And what about nuclear power?
No more nuclear either. We don't need
it. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
No more new nuclear plants need to be built, period.
So if people are saying that the nuclear plants are the only way that we can have clean energy in the future of America, if you're going to get away from coal, and we don't yet have the transmission or technology available for real solar and wind power to take its place, how do you argue against that?
We don't have the money for nuclear. I mean, every single nuclear plant has to have 100% government guarantee behind the loans before anyone's even considering building one. And it is the most expensive form of energy, and it's not clean. It still requires mining for that uranium, tons of fresh water, mm-hmm. and it's a real detriment to health and community across this world. And we have the land to have solar power and to have wind power that a lot of Europe doesn't have, which is why I think that they rely so much on nuclear when we have better, cleaner options.
Yeah, there's no reason for nuclear. It's dangerous. It's been full of, you know, justice concerns. You have to store the waste somewhere. And in this country, that somewhere tends to always be in low-income communities and on Indian reservations. And like I said before, in this movement, that's unacceptable. And we don't need it. We can get everything, all the electricity, all the energy that this country requires from solar and wind. So instead of hearing excuses, we should get started on putting that potential to work. And there's no dirty waste that has to, you know, be stored somewhere for wind and solar. It's 100% green. We can feel good about it. There's no risk involved.
Exactly. A lot of people use France as an example. They say, well, France has a lot of nuclear, but this is not France. France doesn't have the space that we have that's full of wind and it's full of sun. They just don't have it. So there's just no reason that we should be going to nuclear. And it's not renewable. It's not appropriate for the long term. It's expensive. And eventually, as Van Jones, who is my hero, put it, we're going to be fighting wars instead of over oil. We'll be fighting wars over uranium. It's not something that is going to last into the next generation, so we shouldn't be putting our efforts and money into it. We should be investing in renewable energies like wind and solar.
You said Van Jones, who runs Green for All, right. Is this Harvard-trained, I think.
Yale.
Harvard, I'm right, right? Yale, excuse me. African-American leader of Green for All, who's fighting for green jobs and tying the social justice issues of the inner city to the environmental movement in some very effective ways. But a lot of people thought that one of the things that happened to President Obama's administration was they didn't pull him into the administration or people like him into the administration. And I wanted you to think about that. I mean, if you think about, I mean, you all worked hard to see Barack Obama become president of the United States of America. Some people are arguing that it may not be going fast enough for the likes of you, for young people in America.
What's the question?
The question is: Are you satisfied with the direction that the government is taking now when it comes to energy policy? Is it going? I mean, you're talking about it can't wait a moment ago, Madeline. It's got to be pushed hard. That you can't have coal, that nuclear power cannot be the way we're going to go, that we have to change the direction and invest money in clean energy. And are you all satisfied with the direction that U.S. Congress and the government's taking so far?
They haven't taken the steps yet, but we're here to push them further and make it go the way that we want. And people like Van Jones are with us. They are on doing the grassroots organizing and behind us to make sure that we get to the point that we need by the end of this year so that we can go to Copenhagen with strong legislation and as leaders in international climate change.
And they're just getting started. So
Yeah, first 100 days isn't over yet.
That's right. It's not. It hasn't it's been 100 not. Days, has it?
We're just getting started. We had big gains in the economic stimulus bill that was just passed. A lot of money was put aside for clean energy and green job creation. It's just the start, but that was encouraging, and we're looking to have a climate bill passed this year.
So now you have 12,000 of you here in Washington, D.C. Most of you, except for the ones maybe going to jail right now, will be heading out of here tonight or tomorrow morning to go back to your communities around the country. So what holds the movement together? What happens now with Power Shift and with the energy you've created here?
We need to see the result of these 378 meetings.
What do you think that will be? You organized that. What do you think the result of that's going to be?
I mean, for several of these congressional districts, these were the biggest constituent meetings that they have ever had. And that says so much. And the fact that these are their largest meeting and they are youth, and they are youth here for the environment, I think that this is making them realize what an issue this is currently, and that Nancy Pelosi is behind us on it means that it is priority for this Congress. And we're going to follow them back on the ground. I mean, we are continuing the Power Shift. This isn't over yet.
Right. We're gonna stay on them. And just because we're not all in the same place doesn't mean we're not still united anymore after Power Shift. There are great state environmental networks all across this country. There are great regional groups. And many students are going to be, when they get back to where they live, they're going to be having in-district meetings with these representatives when they come home for recess. So the movement's going to keep going. It's grown from Power Shift. It's not ending with Power Shift.
I mean, you all really have been energized by this.
Absolutely. I mean,
when
inspired.
The two of you walked in first, and Dominique came in the show, so I didn't see you in the room before the show started, but I saw it in your face when you came in, though, Dominique. You all had this kind of glow. You're just really kind of... We're excited and just pumped up about what's just happened this weekend.
Yeah, I just came from a congressional briefing with the Energy Independence and Climate Change Committee, and had five of our people briefing Congress. Candy Mossett from the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation, who was talking about fighting the new oil refinery that's being put on her land and how many health problems that she sees, people on her reservation have. She herself is a survivor of cancer from age 20.
She's 20 years old now?
No, when she was 20, she had cancer. She now fights for environmental justice with Native American youth all through the upper Midwest. There was a man from New Mexico who testified about the need to create green jobs for low-income youth in Albuquerque. People want jobs. We need job training programs. The potential of New Mexico to harness solar power. It's like we've got these two pieces that make so much sense, and we just need a little bit of help putting them together. Jobs and the potential of clean energy, and we can solve so many of these countries' problems. So, we're very hearing each other's stories invigorates us so much, talking to Congress and letting them know exactly what we want to see happen. And then I walked out the doors, and there were people everywhere wearing green hard hats.
Our cab driver even asked us about it.
Our cab driver was like, "What's up with all the green hard hats?" They're everywhere. And I ran into people who had just come from the action. I said, "Oh, yeah, we shut the whole thing down. There's 4,000 of us." It was just incredible.
Right. Especially, I've just come from these meetings, and they were really, really exciting. I had a meeting with one of Ben Cardin's staffers, and at the end we presented him with the green hard hat, and he put it on, and he said, "The senator is behind you. He supports you on these things." Steny Hoyer, we packed the room. There were at least 80 young people in a room with Steny Hoyer. We couldn't have it in his office because it just wasn't big enough. And he told us that he basically supports the four principles. We didn't agree with him on all points, but he was impressed, and he said he was going to keep what we said in mind, and that he supported our efforts. So to hear these types of things after the last 8 years is very, very invigorating.
Laura?
I'm just excited to see these numbers. I mean, when hearing all these stories and seeing all these faces and faces of different color, faces from different places, and know that we are all together, I just feel that we've all been born in the right time. I mean, everything is right lined up for us. I mean, we're all in this room just smiling, like knowing that change is going to happen. I mean, my administration is behind me. My folks back home are behind me. My parents realize that they have set this isn't. They don't want this for me. They don't want a dirty energy future. They want something clean for me. They want me to live a long, happy, healthy life. And I'm surrounded by 12,000 people that are going to fight with me to make it happen. And it is so exciting.
And fight you'll have to do, it sounds to me. I mean, you're going to have to really push these folks to get
and we're ready
where
to.
What you want. This has been really exciting. I'm so happy that you three could take the time with us today. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to go to the PowerShift website and Google that. And you can go to our website at steinershow.org and find all the links to these organizations and what they're doing. And Dominique Hazard, Madeline Gardner, and Laura Comer, it's just been a joy to have you all here. And keep fighting, keep struggling. We're all behind you.
We will. Thank you.
This is great. Thank you so much. The Mark Steiner Show, I want to remind you, is made possible by Urbanite, Baltimore's free monthly magazine of ideas and innovation. This month, Urbanite unveils Urbanite Project, its third annual experiment in the power of unconventional collaboration. The magazine assembled five teams of guest contributors, artists and scientists, musicians and academics, gave them each two pages to explore an idea of their choosing. The results were as diverse and surprising as the participants themselves. You can find the Urbanite at over 800 locations around the Baltimore region and online at urbanitebaltimore.com and hear their stories here on The Mark Steiner Show, which is produced by the Center for Emerging Media. And our producers are Justin Levy and Jessica Phillips. We want to thank Zachary Coleman at WEAA for engineering and Archie Moore right down here at Clean Cuts in Washington, D.C. Our interns are Christina Arison and Judith Lloyd. Theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear additional interviews, and we have additional interviews today by Gwen Ifill going up on the website that you can hear, and you can find all the connections from this conversation on the website right now, so go to steinershow.org, it'll be there, and for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner, stay involved, and take care.